Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Everybody, as we continue to look back at what this year's been like and some interesting interviews and some new conversations that we're having too this week along the way, one of the conversations that I really, really enjoyed, and she wrote me the nicest card too, Ingrid Newkirk. She's the president of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, PETA, because people have strong opinions. They either are all in on PETA or they get upset with PETA. But she wrote a book that I really, really enjoyed. It was hard for me to put down. And it was actually someone just sent it to me, and then the rest, we had this conversation, and then she came on the show. So her book is called Animal Kind, Remarkable Discoveries About Animals, and she just talks about, she gives you all these great morsels of information in a funny, interesting way about different animals, things that I didn't know about the intelligence of certain animals, right? And what happens in our everyday lives and the interactions. I mean, it makes you kind of look at, it makes you look at, I think, the animal kingdom differently, especially, you know, horses, cows, whatever. The wisdom and then how she weaved the tale was just incredible. And, you know, I thought it was so good. So it was not what I expected, but it was even so much more than that, I would say. And this is an interesting conversation that we've had. So you're going to get to hear that coming up. Besides Ingrid Newkirk, we're also going to chat with Linda Jones. And Linda Jones is out of the UK, too. Ingrid Newkirk was originally born in England and all of that. And Linda Jones lives in the UK, and she wrote a novel called Witch Hunt, and she really has a gift for writing. And on her cover, she says this incredible manor that looks like a witch would live there, and it is the fascination with witches, I think, that led to this, led to this book. So. The way that it came together, the way she wrote it, the whole idea of the witches was, you know, fascinating to me. And what Dorcas, which is the main character, did when she saw certain things, and I don't want to give it all away, but she's a good storyteller, and that's the key to a good book for sure. So like I said, it is Thanksgiving week, and what does that mean when it comes to football? And the NFL has surprised me. They've clamped down on some of the protocols to make it so that football gets through. I mean, you know, you have a normal, it's not normal, but you have what looks to be a normal season only. You don't have fans. You have cutouts, and you have some fans in stands, but not huge numbers of fans. It's lucky to have, I guess, any if you want to look at it one way. So on Thanksgiving Day, you feast on pro football. There's three games. What are the three games? I know you just have this anticipation. The first game is the Texans and the Lions. The second game is, meaning later in the afternoon, the Washington and the Cowboys, both terrible teams. And at night, it's a good one. It's the Ravens and the Steelers. So the Ravens and the Steelers will play on NBC that night. And you look at the Steelers, And when they were at Baltimore, they won, but barely, 28-24. So that could be a close, fun game, let's say, to watch. Because it, I think when you think about Thanksgiving, whether you watch football or not, it's just kind of, it is that symbol that, oh yeah, that's right, there's sports, there's football. That's right. We live in this world where there's things that we can't do, but there's football. So there you go. And then there's some other things to do, I think, during this time period, this Thanksgiving period. I said it in the first hour of picking up that book you couldn't read, picking up the magazines that are piling up, spending time with your family playing games. I mean, when was the last time, and some of you probably do this, you pulled out board games and played actual board games like Scrabble or, who knows, Candyland if you have younger children, whatever it might be, or even some good old-fashioned cards. My family always played cards, and my grandmother would gladly let children play, but you had to know how to play. So you couldn't come to the table and kind of flail around and just kind of poke at it like you were playing crazy eights. No. That wouldn't work for her. So maybe you're going to do the board game thing, and good for you. You know, you can do that with Zoom too, so you could do that with family members. You could do it with like Yahtzee, or I don't know if you could do it with cards. In fact, I don't think you could do it with cards. This is absolutely something to be thankful for. And I read this story the other day about this professor who died last year. And you know what? Left $350,000 to the university she worked for 4 decades. Linda Hill, her name was. And she was an assistant professor of English at Claflin University in South Carolina for all that time. And her family announced the gift, and they said the money, the largest amount given by any current or former staff member, would be used to establish an endowment to support student scholarships. And the university's writing center is going to be named after her, as she was known for her devotion to helping students develop their writing skills. I mean, what could be greater than that? And they even said at the university, you can't replace someone like her for her service. That's what the president said, that hers was a labor of love. And you can tell that she really loved the school, loved what she did, or she wouldn't have that kind of a gift left behind and freeing. That's exactly what she did. So bravo to her for doing that. And you want some other quick good news? How about Pfizer? We were talking about this last week. They're saying they could secure this emergency U.S. and European authorization. It looks pretty good because they had that 95% success rate with the vaccine. So the U.S. Food and Drug Administration could grant that emergency use, which it's looking like they're going to. And that's good news because of the amount of vaccines that can get out for those that are going to take them, that can get out into the world a whole lot faster. All right, stay with us as we continue the flow here on this special Thanksgiving week.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed best. better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. 9 in 10 homebuyers are motivated to purchase their first home, while 4 in 5 say saving for a home is a priority. According to new homebuyer insights from Bank of America, this motivation is encouraging because homeownership can help families create a legacy and build long-term wealth, making it easier to achieve their life goals. However, many would-be buyers say that expensive home prices, high rent costs, and student loans impact their ability to save. A.J. Barkley, Senior Vice President, Neighborhood Lending at Bank of America.
We understand that becoming a homeowner can be as challenging as it is exciting. While many prospective homebuyers can afford monthly mortgage payments, saving for the upfront costs may make homeownership seem out of reach. We have low down payment mortgages as well as down payment grants and closing cost grants, which are helping eligible homebuyers break down these barriers so they can afford a home of their very own.
To learn more, visit www.bankofamerica.com/homeowner.
Do you know that PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, was founded 40 years ago? And would you believe we have the founder of PETA on with us, Ingrid Newkirk? She's written this book that I could not put down. I'm blaming her for my lack of sleep, called Animal Kind, Remarkable Discoveries About Animals and Revolutionary New Ways to Show Them Compassion. And she's done that with best-selling author Jean Stone. So, Ingrid, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure entirely, as it was my pleasure to write that book.
Yeah, and it's a great book. So let's jump right into this so the listeners know. Tell us, give us the overview. Tell us about your book, Animal Kind.
Well, it's divided into two parts. The first section is all about how amazing, jaw-droppingly amazing and talented and intelligent and emotional animals are. So it's full of stories about animals who travel maybe 5,000 miles in winter to spend the time in the sun in South Africa and come all the way back to a little town, the same nest that they've had for years, every single year like clockwork. And they get there by reading the Earth's magnetic field or by picking up low-frequency radio waves. We didn't even know there were radio waves just about 100 years ago. They can read the position of the stars, and so can your dog at home, and so can cows when they go out to graze. So the first part is about what good partners they are, their love, their grief, everything else. The second part is knowing who animals are, that we are really linked, not ranked, that we all have intelligences of different kinds and abilities of different kinds. If you care about them, there are so many different ways that you can stop harming them inadvertently, unwittingly, and you can very positively use the power you have as a consumer to guide companies to make better decisions so that they don't hurt animals.
Oh, and that's so important, and I'm going to come back to that, but I want to ask you, because you talked about this, what we don't know about animals, and here's something interesting that I found out from your book. Dolphins, don't forget that dolphins' memories are so good. You know, they say people, oh, you have a memory like an elephant. Dolphins' memories are incredible, and it turns out, and you talk about this in your book, that there's a study that was done in the journal Proceedings of the Royal Society B that showed that dolphins can actually recognize the whistles of others they haven't seen in 20 years. That's incredible.
Oh, it's amazing. And the reason that they have whistles, I mean, they communicate in whistles, yes, and they communicate with sonar, which is what makes it so heartbreaking when you have a place like SeaWorld that shoved a dolphin into what's basically a cement cage underwater. I mean, they need to use that sonar and travel. But dolphins give their babies a unique whistle name when they're born, and those dolphins answer to that name throughout their entire lives. So if for some reason a dolphin goes off somewhere or disappears, and they find that dolphin 5 years, 10 years, as you said, 20 years later, they hear that whistle, they know exactly who that individual is.
Wow. I mean, again, just fascinating. And that's the idea in the book, like you said, in two different parts. Another thing that you talk about, and I always wonder this with my dog. I have a brand new puppy, Guinness, and he just wants to play all the time. But we understand that energy, right? We understand the energy of the golden retriever. But then you talk in your book about just play in general, that this is it in the animal kingdom. And it's universal that the most common theory is that animals play to develop survival skills. Wow. I had no idea. Tell us more about that.
Well, they do. I mean, it's a wonderful lesson that they get. They know how hard to bite if they're playing with their brother or their sister. And they know, you know, if mother is doing something. She teaches them in these wonderful ways. But we just had a study out that's fascinating about how juvenile dogs misbehave in the same way. They push the boundaries in the same way that human juveniles do with their own parents. So when you've got a puppy and the puppy grows up for a while and then they go through this phase of being a juvenile and they just want to be naughty, and sometimes they're really punished for it and they're told down and sit and stop chewing this, but it really is the same as if you have a teenager in the house. Dogs are fascinating because dogs are so clever. You know, the average dog in your home knows 300 words without being taught one, and we know not one word of dog, so we shouldn't feel too superior. And they've got to do that because they have to pay attention to us. I mean, we're in charge of everything. If they get a drink of water or they even go out to relieve themselves, it depends on us. So they watch us like a hawk, and they know what we want, what we're thinking, and then they try to get our attention. They bring the leash. They put the paw on your knee. They bring the water bowl. They jump on the bed and say, I've got to go out. They scratch at the door. They bark to say, you can't hear it, Mom, but there's someone coming towards the door, and I'm giving you a warning. So they shouldn't be told, sit, you know, be quiet, down. Dogs dig, dogs bark. They need a little bit of freedom there.
Wow, so that's good. You're sticking up for Guinness. He'll love that. The book is called Animal Kind, Remarkable Discoveries About Animals and Revolutionary New Ways to Show Them Compassion. We're speaking with the author and PETA founder, Ingrid Newkirk. And Ingrid, you talk about and you say how you separate the book about cosmetics and product testing without animals. Has that gotten better?
Oh, yes. I mean, when we started 40 years ago, you basically had to take a bottle to a co-op if you wanted a cruelty-free shampoo. It was really bad. We've got 4,400 companies now, big ones, small ones, you name it, that don't test their products by putting them in a rabbit's eye or something like that, and don't have animal ingredients. You know, a lot of these companies used to use, and some still do, slaughterhouse products. They'll use placenta and this thing called hydrolyzed animal protein. If you look at the label, you know, you don't want that. Who wants to put that on their face or in their hair? So, yes, it's got a lot better. Testing is a lot better. Almost no company now sells or designs fur, which was established status symbol when we were starting, and now, you know, people say I wouldn't be seen dead in that stuff. So lots of things are changing. We've got vegan foods galore. You can get something that's vegan that tastes like something that wasn't, that you liked, like me growing up with so many meat things in my diet. And you can go to the store and for 10 minutes you can stare at the plant-based milks from soy to macadamia to almond to rice, you name it. It's just, it's a wonder of choices we have now. We just need to make them.
And seeing that happen and the evolution of that, that has to be exciting for you. As I mentioned, 40 years, four decades, it has to feel pretty incredible to see what's happened.
It is. And there are many big things, too. I mean, we stopped car crash tests on animals. They used to slam baboons and pigs into a wall to see what the impact was on the steering wheel and the person. And, you know, now you see the car crash dummies. That's because Peter stopped those tests all over the world. So there are many, many things that have changed. There are many more things that need to change. And it's why I'm so grateful that people's eyes and their hearts and their minds are open to animals now. Many, many more people. Most people aren't trophy hunters. You know, they do care. And they have a dog at home and they're beginning to understand the love and the importance of that animal. So we need everybody to chip in. And writing the book was a great joy because I was able to learn things I didn't know about animals, too, and able to pack in the facts of what you can do and some lovely stories, too.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll finish on this one because we are living in a virtual reality right now. But virtual reality works for animals, doesn't it? We're seeing that a lot with zoos and whatnot.
Oh, we absolutely are. I mean, you remember the old days of Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey, dragging the elephants through town, and there would be some ringmaster who would make them stand on their head and wear a stupid headdress, and then they'd get chained up behind the big top. We don't need the roadside zoos. We don't need these old-fashioned circuses where wildlife is just something you dominate. We have virtual reality, and today you can dive into the deep sea on virtual reality and actually swim with dolphins in the open ocean. And you can go with elephants or bears or tigers into the jungle, and you can experience so many wonderful things up close and personal with animals without ever harming a hair on an animal's head. I adore virtual reality. And we've seen in many of these shows now that it's taking over. So we need to just patronize the right things.
There you go. Perfect place to end this. Ingrid Newkirk, what a delight to have you on. Pick up the book, Animal Kind, Remarkable Discoveries About Animals and Revolutionary New Ways to Show Them Compassion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Could we reach herd immunity by May? Over the weekend, the top doctor on Operation Warp Speed said there could be enough vaccines to reach a threshold of herd immunity in the U.S. by next spring. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar believes that's achievable. He tells Fox News that with three vaccines possibly available by the end of the year, herd immunity is possible.
So we would hope to be able to start vaccinating in December for individuals there. We have two other, the AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson vaccines that also could be coming in the near term, depending on clinical trial data. And as we've said, we believe by that second quarter of next year, we'll have enough vaccine FDA authorized for every American. And that's, of course, what you'd want to do towards getting to vaccine-induced herd immunity.
Monday marked the 14th straight day that the U.S. has set new records for the number of COVID patients hospitalized. According to new data from the COVID Tracking Project, more than 85,000 Americans are currently hospitalized with the disease. This is USA Radio News. The Federal Aviation Administration gave Boeing's 737 MAX planes the okay last week to resume domestic flights. The jets had been grounded for more than 20 months following a pair of deadly crashes in 2018 and 2019. One airline CEO believes the safety issues that caused those planes to be grounded have been addressed. Tim Berg has more from the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau.
Southwest Airlines CEO Gary Kelly says software issues in Boeing's 737 MAX plane that crashed twice and was grounded for the longest period in aviation history have been easily addressed. As far as if people will have issues flying on the Boeing 737 MAX,
I don't think so. The MAX is a great airplane, and the software issue has, I would, in layman's terms, easily been addressed.
That audio courtesy of Axios on HBO. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
This is USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
For a conversation with Linda Jones. She's written several novels, but we're gonna talk about Witch Hunt and then the latest one that's not even available yet, but I think it's going to be pretty exciting too. So Linda Jones, thanks so much for joining us, and you and I talked for some moments off the air about how did you arrive at becoming really a novelist and taking make-believe and making it believable, because you have such a way with words. Did you ever think that you would end up writing the way you are?
No, I was always too busy. I would write short pieces, but I didn't have time with a career and the family.
So how gratifying is that now that you wrote these short pieces, that you're doing these novels? It has to feel pretty good.
Oh, it's wonderful. I mean, nothing beats that first one, does it? When I saw my first novel as a book, I was whooping about.
You gotta love that. I say it's like, and you have a couple of daughters, but in a way it's like giving birth in a different way.
Yes, and you feel very protective of your books.
Yeah.
I mean, I had submitted some to publishing houses, and when they're rejected, you feel as though someone's looked in the pram and said, your baby's ugly.
But yet you keep going, and that's the good thing. Otherwise, we would be robbed of your wonderful storytelling. So let's talk about Witch Hunt. I think people are fascinated by witches and ghouls and ghosts and all of that. And there's people who believe, and there's people who don't believe and whatnot. So how did you come up with Witch Hunt?
It was actually a play on words. You know, when you're looking for something that isn't there, people say you're on a witch hunt. And shall I read what's on the back of the book to explain it?
Yes.
Right. It says, excuse me.
That's okay. You're fumbling for your glasses, and I understand that. You know, you talk about who was Alice.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, who was Alice? And why had she cursed the Fletchers to the effect that no firstborn had ever inherited Springfield for over 300 years? Now, Dorcas Meadows, the heroine, has personal reasons for solving the mystery, not least because she's in love with the heir. And then they've got to find a solution to this before Miles meets an untimely end. She has a strange connection. She sort of knows things that happened in the house that she couldn't possibly have known. And there's a lot of research to do as they go hunting through all the records and everything to find out who this witch was. And why she cursed all the firstborns.
How do you come up with these characters, Dorcas Meadows? How did you come up with Dorcas?
Dorcas is, now it's either the Greek or the Hebrew, but Dorcas and Tabitha are the same name in different languages. And her connection is with Tabitha, the one who lived in the 17th century. So it was the name that came up first. So I wanted there to be this connection. And but for it to be realistic, they had to go through, they couldn't have a seance or anything, so they had to go through all the records and find out who Alice was. I won't tell you who she was, because you want to find that out for yourself.
Exactly. You know, it's in these characters, and you said an interesting thing to me. You go where the characters go. You go along for the ride. I love that description of it, because I can see you getting lost in these parallel universes and coming up with these ideas and again, letting them take you where they go. And you are a big fan of history. So I think the history probably plays somewhat into this. What kind of sort of research do you do for your novels?
Well, for that one, I had quite a lot of background knowledge because there's a society called the Sealed Knot, which the people sort of reenact the Civil War, our Civil War. And one of my daughters was involved in that, and I used to go along to watch her in the battles and make the costumes and things. So I did know quite a lot about that period. And there was the house that is on the front of the book. Actually, we went there to do historical reenactment.
Wow. So that really gave you a sense of what that was like.
Yeah, and if you look carefully at the front of the book, I don't know if you can see it, there's actually the shadow of a face that was looking over the house.
Yes, absolutely. So for everybody that's listening to us in the United States and across the world, when you go to Amazon to get this book, you'll see that. You see that shadow. And I said that's interesting because I said the first thing I said to you was, wow, what an incredible cover, because you really kind of feel it. It really comes out at you. What do you hope people take away from reading your novels?
I hope they will want to read some more.
That's a good answer. I hope they want to read some more, because that is the goal if you're writing after all.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew you were clever, Linda. That is absolutely true. You do have other books. You know, this book was, it's completely holds up. It's a novel, but it was written many years ago. And you've got another one that's coming out that actually has an American heroine. You were telling me about that. Tell us what we can expect from that. What book, what's the name of that book and what's that about?
It's called Claiming Samantha. And Samantha is a young American woman who, was brought up amongst the railroad building fraternity in the 1800s. And she has a connection to the aristocratic family in England. Now, when she visits England, they want her to conform to Victorian society and to get married, and she's not having any of it. So there's lots of sort of pressure for her to marry, and that's the people are trying to claim her, and she's not going to be claimed, and she's going to go her own way.
So interesting. And you know, it made me think of, I have a friend who's a novelist, and he wrote a book, and he's American, and he wrote a book where everybody in the, including the heroine, is British, and so had to run it by lots of friends in the UK to make sure the lingo was right. It'd be interesting from the reverse perspective for you tackling an American heroine. Was that pretty easy to sort of translate in your head, kind of the way that we all talk in the United States?
I didn't try too much for modern American. But as I say, I'm very interested in history, so I've tried to pitch it. And she comes up with things like, she wouldn't bet a dime to a dollar.
Right.
On something. And she calls the teacher the school mom, which is what an English girl wouldn't have said. So I've tried more to make it sound as though the people would talk sort of in the 1860s.
Which is another challenge in itself, because to make that believable, you're right. How does somebody speak in the 1860s, whether it's the United States or whether it's the UK or someplace else? There were different words, and we know that when you talk about colloquialisms, they're different everywhere that you go. So that. It's what makes it so interesting. And because you're a fan of history, that makes sense to me that you would really have a good grasp on that. So you're having fun. That's the bottom line. We want to leave everybody with that thought. I think you're having fun. Am I right?
Oh, I couldn't stop writing if I wanted to.
That's the best. When you're pursuing your passion, you had it in your head as you were having your family and your career, and you were writing the short stories, so you were laying the groundwork, and now here we are with these novels. And again, you can pick up Witch Hunt or any of Linda Jones's books. If you go to Amazon, you'll find them. We can't wait for your next book to come out as well, your novel. So thanks for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me. And I will have a website so people will be able to look up on that as well.
Excellent. What's the name of the website going to be? Do you know yet?
Yeah. It's www.authorlindajones.com. And that hopefully will be up and running soon.
All right. There you go. That makes sense. Thank you so much, Linda.
Well, thank you.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. 9 in 10 homebuyers are motivated to purchase their first home,
while 4 in 5 say saving for a home is a priority. According to new homebuyer insights from Bank of America, this motivation is encouraging because homeownership can help families create a legacy and build long-term wealth, making it easier to achieve their life goals. However, many would-be buyers say that expensive home prices, high rent costs, and student loans impact their ability to save. A.J. Barkley, Senior Vice President, Neighborhood Lending at Bank of America.
We understand that becoming a homeowner can be as challenging as it is exciting. While many prospective homebuyers can afford monthly mortgage payments, saving for the upfront costs may make homeownership seem out of reach. We have low down payment mortgages as well as down payment grants and closing cost grants, which are helping eligible homebuyers break down these barriers so they can afford a home of their very own.
To learn more, visit www.bankofamerica.com/homeowner.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
So back in 2007, Neil Romano was actually picked by President George W. Bush, or nominated anyway, to be the Assistant Secretary of Labor for Disability Employment Policy. That's a big one. And then, of course, unanimously confirmed by the Senate. I'm saying this to let you know that this guy really knows disabilities and the problems that happen with people and not getting the attention that we need and to pay attention to what's happening out there. So he was the head of the U.S. Department of Labor's Office of Disability Employment Policy. Like I said, he advised the Secretary of Labor, worked with all the DOL agencies to lead coordinated and comprehensive national policy regarding the employment of people with disabilities in the United States. Boy, with what's going on now, that makes me so frightened for so many of those people. Neil Romano joins us. Hey, Neil, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So it just happens that March is Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month. And maybe there's people listening, I bet there is people listening, that wonder about the pay situation. And it's legal to pay people with disabilities under the minimum wage? How is that possible? How long has that been legal?
Well, that is absolutely true. There are over 300,000 Americans today that are working and being paid less than minimum wage, and it's completely legal. It's a remnant of the old New Deal. It's 80 years old, where they said that people with disabilities could be paid less than the normal salary. and what's happened in the minimum wage. And what's happened over the years is that, it just stayed. It's one of those pieces of legislation we can't get rid of. And very frankly, folks with disabilities over the last 80 years have progressed dramatically, especially people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Stuck in these 14-seat jobs, these sometimes are people who have actually gone through school, finished high school, can read. So it's really something that really should be eliminated.
Boy, I so agree with that, especially, like you said, we've seen incredible advancements. And what about the other people, though, that are just too disabled to work? What happens to them?
You know, I'm going to have to tell you, that's because so far in my career, I don't know that I've seen a lot of people who are really so disabled they can't work. Now, if a person, is a person that, someone who's really truly unwell in one way or the other, well, there are things called rehabilitation and other things that are used that people can go to. But when we're talking about a work environment, people who get up, get dressed, go to a job, and wind up after an 80-hour 2 week, winding up with a pay cut, sometimes, Kate, that's under $20, $30.
Wow.
That's an absolute atrocity in this country. These folks, sadly, they'll work for a week or two, and they can't even go get a hamburger and a pair of seats. It just isn't right.
It just isn't right. So what can we do about it? Who can we talk to? Who's ultimately responsible for eliminating sub-minimum wages?
Well, it's very interesting because both parties in their political platforms have both said they'd like to get rid of it. But yet the will to get rid of it is often held up by the interests who run these facilities. Everything, Kate, becomes financially entangled. There are people who make money off of this. If you run a place and you're paying people that much, you're bound to be making some money for yourself. So we have to talk to members of Congress. We have to talk to members of this administration. People need to find out in their community how their congressmen, how the businesses in their area, are they hiring these organizations to do work for them? Sometimes they don't even know they're supporting this. I know companies that pay some of these organizations that do this, pay $18, $20 an hour for the person they're hiring to do the job in these workshops. And really, they're paying the people pennies on the dollar. So it's a matter of asking businesses, hey, is your supply chain, do we care as much about Americans as we care about people in other countries and how we pay them? The members of Congress, hey, we're talking about, raising the minimum wage. Well, how about just getting some Americans the minimum wage? Let's start there. That would be nice. So members of Congress, the administration, and as I said, asking your local businesses about that.
Yeah, that's great for everybody listening. So, Neil, I said this at the top, and we're speaking with Neil Romano. He is the chairman of the National Council on Disability. You've dedicated your whole life, really, to this. What's it like for you? I mean, you've had to have some really high points when you've been able to break through. What's it like working to really highlight the fight that these people are in?
Well, I have to tell you, there's nothing more rewarding than being given the opportunity to help other people. And this is one of those situations where virtually each and every day, myself and the team at the National Council on Disability, which is, an independent federal agency, we work and we fight every day for these folks, not just in this cause, not just 14C issues, but issues of all types. As a matter of fact, we right now are working with the Congress and with members of the administration on being sure that during the course of this virus that people with disabilities aren't left behind. When they start talking about things like rationing, it's very frightening for people with disabilities because, more often than not, they are at the end of the medical line, and it's very dangerous for them. So, it's a wonderful opportunity. For me, it has been a life of enjoying what I do every day. So thank you for that.
Wow. And if people want more information, they can go to ncd.gov, right?
That is correct. Yep. We have a very robust website that has issue papers that we have made for this administration and past administrations, and all kinds of good information you can find out about these issues.
And I could imagine, you said it, you're probably getting a lot of calls about people with disabilities who are worried about COVID-19 and what's going to happen to them.
Well, you know, absolutely. We have we just finished a series at NCD about you know, people who with disabilities who have to fight to get the basics of human rights care. We have people with disabilities simply because they have a disability who can't get a transplant and have to fight for it for no other reason than the fact that they have a disability. And yes, this community, the disability community is quite frightened by this, as everybody is. But once again, as I said, you know, we're at the end of the week. We always have drawn the short straw in the medical field. I, frankly, am a person with leukemia who lives with leukemia, and I have a threatened immune system, and it's something that you worry about. Now, I have friends that are much, much more compromised than myself in many ways, and very frankly, you know, very honestly, we have to worry about those folks a lot more.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. Stay safe, and we're all in this together, people. So, Neil Romano, thank you for joining us on the show.
Hey, thank you very much for the time, and thank you for giving some attention to these issues.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big proponent of why is this not equal? How did this get this way? I saw the saddest thing at the I was looking at some UN news. Somebody sent me a photograph of an 8-year-old who was paralyzed by an exploding bomb and lost the use of her legs and is in a wheelchair. And what happens to people with disabilities in the COVID-19 response? Because, you know, there is the fear, the panic, that all that kind of stuff, and it's got to be incredibly terrifying to feel like you would be left behind. Globally, there's about 1 billion people, so that would be roughly, give or take, 15% of the world's population who live with some form of disability, and I'm getting those statistics from the WHO. And you look at the coronavirus, and of course they're leading the charge. So far we see the amount of cases and the deaths, and I said those numbers at the top of the show. And then you look at the people with disabilities, and they could be experiencing an increase in the risk of contracting COVID-19. And just imagine that battle, the battle that we are all in, you know, the war that we're all in, and how it must be for them to be in that situation and certainly feeling like they are being left behind and they need access to, you know, vital financial aid, etc. All right, so we're going in a different direction. We're headed to Vegas to talk to Jackie Baskow about the devastation to the entertainment field. She's a celebrity talent broker. She books keynote speakers, top musical acts. She is incredible. We're lucky to have her. She's next on The Flip Side.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.